Welcome back. My guest, artist, illustrator, and cartoonist, and a guy with a really good memory, Nacho L. Garcia Jr. We were just getting you up to the point of about 20 years of age where you have approached the times. You've been doing some advertising, more layout type stuff, but that's not where your heart is. So what comes next, Nacho?
Okay. Well, when I worked with Renee, he was the art director. Everything was done pencil and T-square and triangle.
Yes.
The salesmen would go out and sell to their clients, and they would come back with either photographs or drawings or something and copy. And then they would give it, you're not going to believe this, but Alejandro Lozano. He was in politics for a while. It was two artists and then Renee behind us. The salesman would come and confer with us and say, okay, this client, let's say tire company, wants to buy a two-column ad. Do a layout, something nice, and then we had books of clip art ideas, and we would do a heading.
It was also organic at that point in time.
No computers, right?
No, this was, nothing.
Nothing. So we would cut out a drawing, and I would trace it onto my layout. Mm-hmm. We used visualizing paper, okay? Mm-hmm. I would put a drawing under it, and I sketch in where I want a heading, and copy, and then I would key in the copy typed out to the layout. I'd wrap everything together in like a paper clip, go to this little elevator that was right next to us, and put it all in there and go up to the second floor, which was composing room, all union. Mm-hmm. We could not go in that room.
You couldn't even enter?
No, we were not union.
Yeah.
So if I forgot a drawing, I learned the hard way. Oh, shoot. This should have been with the layout. So I run upstairs. Nobody was around. I went through the store, and I looked on the tables, and I saw it. And I was about to put the art there, and then the foreman, little guy with a pipe. I still remember that little guy. He said, what are you doing here? I said, well, I forgot to include this. I remember I was 20 years old. Are you unions? And no, don't ever come in here and touch anything on these boards. This is union. Mm-hmm. They're the only ones. I said, but this drawing, I said, on the proof you indicate. So I went back down, and when they brought the proofs out, which is what like a giant Xerox, they would set the type and the drawing, and then they would do a proof, and the proof would come out, and then I would have to indicate drawing goes here, blah, 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 blah. And then the salesman would take the proof to their clients. The clients would read it, okay it, date it, sign it, come back, goes back to composing room, they fix it, they start making their negatives and their plates, and everything was printed.
Labor intensive.
Yes.
No strike of
the pen. Oh, the union was huge.
No keystrokes involved.
Yeah. And then from there, a lot of advertising people would come in and out, and I made friends with a guy named Armando Romero. He had a little agency called Scott Advertising. He comes over, and he saw what I was doing. Sometimes I would do art, and I'd get slip it into the layouts. In fact, I remember Piggy Bank Gas. Remember that?
Yeah.
I used to do illustrations of their gas station with a little piggy. They loved it.
Well, how did you make the transition from basic graphic design, illustrations, all the things that are involved, to the political cartoons?
Okay. When I was at the newspaper, I then went to agencies. I went to a couple of agencies in the advertising. Then I ended up at Tony Lama. Tony Lama, I did boot catalogs. I did point of purchase. Tony Lama in 1990 was bought out by Justin Boots. Their offices are in Fort Worth. Armada says, you want to go to Fort Worth? I said, no. I said, anyway, they've got a big staff over there, and they're going to keep the plant. So the little workers are there here in El Paso, but their offices are in Fort Worth. So I said, no, I'm going to leave. So I left on my own, freelance for about 4 or 5 years. And that's when in 95, 96, I saw the ad in the newspaper, editorial cartoons, you know, when you want to submit something. I started sending something in. They liked it. I remember it was Don Flores was publisher or whatever, and he says, hey, you want to submit something every week and we'll give you a little
money.
Do you
remember what your first
image
was?
The very first one, okay, let me think.
What are the ingredients of a successful political cartoon? I mean, I know it when I see it.
Yeah. It was all black and white first, okay?
Yes.
At that time, I think Larry Francis was mayor.
Okay.
Okay. So I remember they said, Larry Francis, I think he had a press conference saying everything's tip-top shape here in El Paso. They're running the good tight ship. So that painted a picture. And I did was I did one of those big sail galleons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the desert with tank tractor wheels. And he's the captain up there, like Columbus. The crew is in the back. And it's sailing. It's a clear sailing. The ship, we're in ship shape.
Yeah, yes.
And so I submitted that. They liked it. They loved it. Then they said, okay, well, we're going to pay you every week. So it was freelance.
Yes.
95 and 96. Then in 97, graphic arts opening. Mm-hmm. And they called me. I think it was John Laird. Remember John Laird?
Oh, absolutely.
He called me, hey, Nacho, you want to come and work here full time and then do your cartoons?
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. I said, yeah, sure. Because I was freelancing. And, you know, it's either feast or famine, right?
Well, yes.
And my wife was doing creative finance. She says, these people haven't paid and blah, blah, blah. So they said, yeah, take it. Full-time job. Mm. So I worked for them for 17 years almost.
Well, you just retired. Great loss to us all on the one hand, and that was 2013, October?
2013. It was Halloween night.
Yes.
When Bob Moore called me over and said, you know what, we're having to downsize, and you're of retirement age.
So that was kind of the bad news. The good news being that you have continued to provide cartoons.
I'm doing commission work, and I'm submitting stuff in local magazines and stuff like that.
Now, there is a tremendous power in the commentary that can take place through one image. What kind of blowback have you had, if any, from some of the people who've been your subjects or targets, depending
on? Well, I don't want to mention names, but there's only been maybe one or two people that are really upset.
Mm-hmm.
Most everyone laughs. In fact, when I run into people, because I do parties, I do caricatures at bar mitzvahs, weddings. I just did a wedding last weekend. And I even did a few Kermazars. Mm-hmm. And people would see, I like your cartoon. They say, I may not agree with your comments, but I love your cartoons. In other words, I guess what they do is they overlook.
Well, there's a genius in putting together that kind of a snapshot, that instantaneous assignment of visual interpretation to a concept, just based on some word like ship shape that, boom, you're able to produce. You also, I have a quote that I got somewhere where you said that humor is sadistic if you think about it.
If you think of it, yeah.
So
at the expense of someone else.
Yes.
It's slapstick.
Yes.
In fact, my wife won't agree with me, but I said, we laugh at the expense of somebody else. Like, you know, a pie hits somebody.
Yes.
And she goes, yeah, but they don't die. No, it's not fatal or anything, but somebody's getting the raw end of the deal.
Well, and one of the reasons that we laugh at things, too, is the sheer relief that it's not us getting the pie. So,
yeah, you're right.
The psychology behind humor is very interesting. But did you have any regrets at any point over any cartoon that you've ever produced?
No, not really.
So you do apply your conscience as you create?
Yeah. In fact, when I was doing those cartoons, they were reviewed by the head guys. I had to submit three or four different ideas.
Wow.
Sketch
that's
it
a
out.
Lot.
Thursday night, I'd slip it under their door because we worked late.
Mm-hmm.
And in the morning, I'd have the final. They'd say, do this one, Nacho, but please don't mention this person. Or don't
so there
do
was
this.
Some editing.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and,
they couldn't print just exactly whatever I wanted to do because sometimes we see things that
the some sensitivity has been overlooked.
I won't mention names, but there were people they said, don't pick on. So.
Yeah, you have to pick your targets. And tell me about the creation, that great moment. When did the gecko with the sunglasses come to life?
This is when John Laird said that there was another artist, and I can't think of the name, who would include a little figure down at the bottom, and he would make a remark, kind of like a side remark.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, think of a little animal or something.
I remember, this brings to mind the Mad Magazine, the little marginal cartoons in Mad Magazine where there's just this little motif running through, little commentary.
Yes.
So when this gecko started turning up, I thought, how cool is this?
Well, John Laird said, think of something. So at that time, there was I think it was an agency that was approaching El Paso to promote it, and they said, get away from the Amigo Man and do a little animal. And they designed a little gecko with big sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, that image is in the airport. If you look around, you'll see a curled up gecko with sunglasses.
He survived.
So I was facetious and said, I want to do a little gecko, big sunglasses. This is before Geico. Okay.
People, before.
Think I copied Geico with a gecko, mm-hmm. but I think I predated him by about a year or two.
Good for you.
So I had that first, and he just carry a sign.
Uh huh.
And to this day, when I do caricatures of people, that they always say, "I had the gecko." They want the gecko.
Well, listen. Speaking of what you do for people, tell me what you're doing these days. I know you have a couple of steady gigs where we can find you and actually get you to do caricatures.
Okay. Well, I'm using the social media, and mm-hmm. I try to get into Facebook, and I throw things. And I'm at a little gallery downtown called Rock House Gallery on Saturdays.
And that's in Union Plaza.
Union Plaza.
400 West Overland Avenue.
Yes. Corner of Leon and Overland.
Okay.
And I'm there Saturday mornings from 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m.
Okay.
Saturdays. And then, like I say, I'm on social media, and then I'm helping a guy out at City Beat Magazine. He's running a little ad. We're doing a trade out.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a little ad for me, and then I do little cartoons for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then word of mouth. In fact, I ask people, where did you hear about? Oh, this friend of mine had a party. So I do parties, bar mitzvahs.
I love the fact that you do wedding caricatures for couples.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Invitations, Christmas cards, you name it.
Are you doing the monthly last Thursdays for the Downtown Arts District?
Yes.
Okay.
I go down the last Thursday of the month. They have a big art walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I go down to the Rock House or another gallery if I'm there.
All right.
But I have an easel that I pull out of the trunk of my car, and in charcoal I do a quick sketch, caricature, or portrait.
That's so cool that you're accessible to us. My guest today is Nacho L. Garcia, Jr., artist, designer. You can find him at NACHOO9 at yahoo.com. His number is 861-8153, or check him out on Freelanced, that's freelanced.com/Nacho L. Garcia, Jr. You will get to see the history of El Paso in his political cartoons, at least for a fair number of years. Nacho, thank you so very much for joining us today.
I want to thank you for having me on.